Yes, sir.
Have you met Mr. Whitney?
I haven't met him.
Oh, no.
Okay, let's make a start. This is a fascinating topic. Last week's show about chocolate was a. Well, thank you very much. Last week's show about chocolate was a relatively easy one. This topic really needs a lot more. It's very thought provoking and needs a lot more hard work to be able to get to the bottom of this one. I think chocolate was so easy that really the bracha should have been Hoyts. And the question is after that. You know, a couple of rules, it all points that way to eights. And the question is just the minikoinah. This one is a much more difficult one. And the difficulty is the bracha, that licorice, if I just start reading out a couple of this. So we've got various different things. This is it's called licorice and it looks very licorice-y. So it's your real black licorice as you have it. So you might take the broth on licorice. I wonder whether this packet actually tells you what broth to make on it. Oh, it's made in Australia. I see why you got it. Yes. So it's made in Australia and they don't tell you. It's got a good hersher, seems to have, but it doesn't tell you what broth to make on it. Okay, that's fair. But it tells you. So, what has it got in it? What do you think ingredient number one in this licorice is? Should we open it just for people to? This is the. It's a very interesting way to start a shiur. I hope you don't mind. But this is licorice sticks here. You're welcome to taste some. Yeah, no, you'll see it over there. This is licorice sticks over here. This is what it is. So it is the licorice that you expect to see. And what it says over here is the ingredients are wheat, glucose syrup. So they're very proud of the fact that it's got wheat. Glucose usually is from wheat. If it's from Europe, from Eretz Yisrael. From America, it's made of corn. There's wheat, glucose syrup. Then wheat flour, ingredient number two. So molasses, treacle, sugar, water, and modified food starch or wheat fiber. They can't get away from it. Palm oil, natural colour, then comes licorice extract, natural flavour, salt, and some preservatives. So that's your thing. This is, I don't know, 80-90% wheat. So what broccoli do you say on this one? This one is a toned down version. It's not even called, is it called licorice? It isn't. It's called Lasso Strawberry Laces. I'm going to read out the ingredients that it says it's got on it, in it, and it says it's glucose, fructose. So glucose, fructose syrup. So it's made from glucose. It's from America, I think. So it's glucose, fructose. It'll be the glucose will be from maize. The fructose will be some fruit derived and glucose. Next one is wheat flour. Then comes sugar, dextrose, palm oil, etc., etc. So number two is wheat flour. Number one is some form of sugar. So number two, ingredient number two, quite significant. Because the body of it seems to be wheat. So glucose, fructose syrup, wheat flour, sugar, dextrose, palm oil, and after that it's all antioxidants, etc., etc. So basically the body of this, apart from sugar, is wheat. Even this one doesn't look anything like licorice at all. Sauerbelt is another, this one over here, Sauerbelt. It says on it that, again, it is, so it's quite difficult to read. It is, let's see if I can help you a little bit with this. Yeah, ingredients here, sugar, glucose, fructose syrup, and then again, wheat flour, even this one. It goes on straight away to wheat flour. So after sugar comes wheat flour. So sugar, there's nothing to it. Immediately after that is wheat flour. So a significant amount of wheat flour in it. And the question really is, with all these things, what bracha do we make on it? I imagine you ask 99% of people, if not 99.9% of people, everyone will tell you shakur, of course. But why? Why shouldn't it be in Hazonus? In fact, if I can take you, let's do it the wrong way around, shall we? So let's take Dan Krause's sefer. Let's say the wrong way around. Let's go to what's the bottom line, and then we'll have a look at the sources. So we've got over here. So Dan Krause says like this from the sefer Makor Bracha. He says, "Ochin kayoy mochrim licorice." What he's done, I've taken some of it out of it. He's written a letter. This is a letter written to one of the companies, and he says the following. It's actually to Blue Packaging Corporation. Ochin kayoy nowadays mochrim licorice. We sell licorice ke'em sukariot. We sell them. Is that right? Have you got that? Is that right? We have it. Like, it's over here. It's in the second sheet, the top of the second sheet. So he says like this: we nowadays they sell licorice like sweets. V'chutz meha shush meisifim oid markivim. Apart from, I'm not sure what the shush is. I don't know whether it's it means some sugary substance. I think the yesh mifolim they are. Factories, shema'arvim gum kemach. I'm not sure whether shush is the sugar or its gumming agent. I'm not sure what it is. But apart from that, yesh mifalim, there are companies, shema'arvim gum kemach, they add flour, michamesh mine dogon, from the five forms of grain, v'im moisifin ha'kemach, kedei litein tam birchose mazonos. If they add the flour in order for flavor, the bracha should be mazonos. So Dan Krause is writing, and he says, Ufonisi le mifal, Bloom Packaging Corporation, ule mifal, Paskas, yes, here they are, and these ones are, these also Paskas, he says, and Shema Arvin Kemach, the licorice shelahem, they add flour to licorice, and this was the answer they gave. Please be advised that the flour added to licorice is for taste and body. I have discussed the bracha for this with Moran Hagon Rav Moshe Feinstein Schlitters. This was letter was written when he was still before he was Nifta, so before 1985, and he said it was mazonos. So Moshe Paskin mazonos. That's an old psak. The bracha should be mazonos because you're adding it for taste and for body. That's what he wrote to him, and this is Rabbi Bernard Levy, who is the Kashrus administrator in Bloom Packaging. Yes, so he's writing it's mazonos. The trouble is, if you continue further, there's another letter, which was written to another factory. And this was written to the following. If you look down the bottom, we'll just miss out a lot of it. It says, "Achrei kol zeis dorashti v'chokati gam ani be'inyan zeh." You got it there. Dan Krause writes just before the bottom of the end of that same column, the last bit of Lashon HaKodesh writing. "Achrei kol zeis after dorashti v'chokati gam ani be'inyan zeh v'zeh l'shein michtovi la'mifol." He writes to somebody called Trevor Bassett. "We would greatly appreciate your assistance concerning your licorice. We would like to know the reason for adding wheat flour to licorice. Is it added to impart taste or merely for binding purposes?" Now, Dan Krause translates what he thinks binding purposes is, i.e. to give it body. Well, I think we can think about this as, so would we have said that? What's giving body?
We got that from the verse, from the reply.
Well, it's very interesting. The reply said both taste and body. I must say, say it gives taste and body, I think to say it gives it body is really the emes. If you just had sugar, there wouldn't be any much to it. It would just be a sweet. If you want to give it a bit of substance, you want to give it some, you know, some mamoshes. So then what you're going to do is you have to add something, either a gumming agent or potato flour or flour or wheat flour or some flour you've got to add to give it some mamoshes substance. Because basically the licorice flavor itself comes from a plant. It's an extract from the root of the plant, and it comes right at the bottom. It's right at the end of all of this. You put a tiny bit of licorice flavor. If you put any more than that, you spoil it. So you want a tiny bit. You can't just eat licorice, so you've got to have something to house the flavor. So what you're trying to do is you have to create a substance which is desirable to eat, which tastes of licorice. So you don't want it tasting of anything else. You want it to taste of licorice, but in the right concentration. So you take something bland, you sweeten it with sugar, and then you add the flavouring, licorice. So that's what it means by body.
So they offer this product in different flavours. You get licorice flavour.
Right.
Raspberry flavour.
That's right.
Flavor.
That's right. So what they've created a vehicle. They've created a vehicle which is in order, because you'd like to taste whatever flavour it is that you've bought. But you can't just take a bottle of flavouring and have it. You need to have something with mamoshes. That's what the body is.
I think that's known as a bulking agent these days.
Fine. That's fine. Excellent. But that's what they mean by giving it body. But if you stop them and say, what do you mean it gives it taste? I would like to take this Rabbi Bernard Levy and say, stop right there. Can you explain what you mean by body? I understand. What do you mean by taste? Flour tastes of thing. It has no taste. Flour tastes of whatever you put into it. If our bread was baked with no salt, no nothing, just flour and water, it tastes of very little. But you might say matzah tastes of something. That's because it's been burnt a little. It's browned. And it's got some crunch to it, but flour is incredibly bland, so it is something that you can take. It gives you something to eat on, to eat itself, and it's going to have some flavour. So that's what he means by body. But what does he mean by taste? I think what he means by taste is that's what you're eating. That's what he means. He's not just putting it there for binding. He's putting it there because that's what you're eating. Something like that. But the continuation of this in the second letter. So Dine Krauss has said that is it there for binding purposes, i.e. to give it body? And I'm not convinced if I'd be allowed to ask. I'm not convinced that the two are synonymous. We would also like to know the approximate percentage of wheat flour as compared to the whole product. And this is the answer. The wheat flour is added binding agent. Do they know what they're saying? What is it binding? Is it binding licorice flavour? It's not a binding agent. Binding agent where I've got minced meat. I've got minced fish, I've got minced chicken, and I want to make a ball out of it. And it won't stick without, it's four to pieces. So I put in a bit of flour and it helps it cling together. That's a binding agent. But here, there's nothing to bind.
Binding the other 70%.
Well,
what's the other 70%? Was it sugar?
Sugar. Sugar doesn't need binding. You make a perfect sweet with sugar. You don't need anything to bind it. Make a boiled sweet.
It doesn't need binding, but this is what's binding.
Yeah, but so what are you saying then? So why are you adding it? You can have a boiled sweet, see-through boiled sweet,
and that's boiled.
And then
that's boiled.
Sugar.
No,
just take glucose, and it'll solidify, won't it?
Just take
sugar. Take a bit of sugar, mix it with water, and leave it to dry, or just put it in the oven, drive off the water, what do you end up with? You end up with a solid.
Or use a flour. And that's what they're using here.
Yes, they're adding for the texture. So I'm saying that you can't tell me you're putting flour into binds when you haven't. What are you binding? What are you trying to bind? So therefore, we've got problems. Let's have the wheat flour added. Therefore, as a binding agent, the recipe contains approximately 30% wheat flour. Right? This one's got far, far more. And this one probably has about 30%. These ones have 30%. So he says like this, during the cooking process, the gluten contents of the flour is partially cooked. That's what they're doing. To give the product its unique texture. So what they're doing is, because when you cook flour, it becomes, it thickens. It thickens the things. So we're over here. If you've got a stone, you want to pass it some other piece. So he says like this, and that's what it does, and it binds the mass together. But what is the mass? As you will appreciate, the taste of flour is rather bland in any form, and it is a combination of the dark treacle and licorice that gives the major, it means flavour impact, not flour impact. Yes, I presume. So he says, and that's it. And therefore, think, by the way, so Dying Crass changed. He used the Pascan, but licorice was Mazanus. And then, as a result of this letter, he changed his psak to Shehako. He changed his psak to Shehako because he said, look, it's quite clear, they're adding it for texture, they're adding it for binding, they're not adding it for flavour. The first letter said, we're quite clearly, we've added it for taste and body, and that Ramosha Pascha was onus. Next time, it's a few years later, this is the response he gets. So he says, that's it, the Shako. And what I'm going to do over here is, I want to show you the letter I wrote him. And I'll show you his response. And then I'm going to have, just need 5 minutes to show you the Rishonim. And then, I think we need to have a look at it again together. And have those sources in the course of the week. And then maybe, well, over Yontif, we've got Yontif in between. But maybe Thursday night, we'll have another look at it together and really flash out the Rishonim and be able to try and get an appreciation ourselves, that each level can get a feel of it, where you think this is going with the Rishonim, who's saying what. So the letter I wrote to that, which is on the third sheet, I wrote him a letter to Dan Krauss. Dan Krauss, by the way, is a tremendous, those who know him, a very, very chosher, a great person. Very much so, very, very much so. And he took the trouble to respond to me. And this was the letter I wrote him. I wrote to him like this. But in your licorice, Shekosav Besifra Mekar Brocha, the Dainvise, the Dainkraus written, Broman Imazonis, Veshukhozaboy, and you, Dainkraus, have changed your psak, Besifra to Sefis Brocha, and you say you should make Shako. Mitam. The reason is she'ena kemach ela ledapkei. It's only there for binding. V'lo lo ses tam. It doesn't give any flavor because it's bland. What's giving the flavor? The licorice and the treacle. So I ask him. Benafshi b'sheilo si. I'm asking question. Achrei shekosav. After the letter, second letter writes that shloshim achuz 30% mi'atchula of the content is flour. What? Why is licorice different to sponge cake? This is a big thing. So I write over here that if you have a look at a honey cake, you have a look at any sponge, chocolate cake, a marble cake, all these cakes, there's no marble in marble cake. Shehakemach, he said, apart from the flour, there is honey, sugar, oil, eggs, and there as well, there's no more than 30% flour. So I asked him, when you eat a honey cake, you also don't taste the flour. What do you taste? You taste the honey. You taste the sugar. You taste the cinnamon. Sometimes they'll put cinnamon in it. They'll put raisins in it for flavouring, whatever. That's what you're tasting. The one thing you don't taste is the flour. Flour is something. And therefore. Sorry? Exactly. Flour is bland. Completely bland. And therefore, of course, you never put flour in, you never did. But Alpha PK, nonetheless, the bracha is Bohem Le Mazonos, according to everyone. So therefore, the same should be true of the licorice, he says. And therefore, I'm saying that the reason to make Mazonos and licorice, even if you don't taste the flour, it's very simple. For the simple reason, Guf Hadova Hu Kemach. That's what you're eating. You're eating flour with, that's what you're having, flour with flavorings. So you don't need anything else. It's one thing if you add a bit of flour to the meatballs. So you add a bit of flour to the meatballs. If you're a wealthy person, you just want the meatballs to stick together. So you add a little bit of flour and then you stop. If you're not so wealthy, but you want everybody to feel they can have plenty, so you look around, make sure no one's looking. You add loads of flour and you mix it up together. It makes loads of meatballs and it looks like meatballs and it tastes like meatballs, but you stretched it and it goes further. So then you can say you put in the flour because you want to stretch it. So you didn't just put it in for binding. You put it in because you want people to eat that as well. You want to fill it out. But this is much more than that. There is nothing there except for flour. Sugar, everything else is a flavouring. There's no even, I don't know what this shush or sus, whatever it is, I think it's a gumming agent. Maybe that's the only thing that can compete with flour in terms of substance. Everything else is just a flavour. And therefore, I appeal to Dan Krauss that really, you're eating a cake. And therefore, the same way as you don't taste the flour in a honey cake, in a chocolate cake, you make mazonos. So licorice should be exactly the same. If you eat it fast enough, you make a lot of
it. Wasn't
baked. Simple. Sorry?
It wasn't baked.
So what? Why does it have to be baked to make alamichil? If you have macaroni, spaghetti, pasta, you're going to make alamichil. I didn't say if you eat enough of it and you're completely full, then you're going to bench. That I didn't say, because it's not baked. 100% right, if it's not baked. But you'll make alamichil. Sure. So that's what I asked, and that's it. His response was, in a nutshell, his response says no. It's only there, you add it there, I've written underlined over there, nipoyach, it's there for to fill it out. If it's there to fill it out, or you could a dabik or to bind it, then the brocha bichose sheako. Can you see where it's underlined in blue? Veim kein kadei litain tam, it's got to be either to give flavor, underlined it in red, or you could lisoid, or to fill you up. And therefore, the fees there, he says, shnor v'shnor, a honey cake and licorice are very different. To ugas egoizim, I don't know why he calls it, doesn't matter, a nut cake. He says, hakavono, the purpose, to hoisofas hakemach, that you've added the flour, is kadeli soid, to fill you up. You have cake, not for the taste, you have it to fill you up. See, Dan Krauss wants to say, you're only going to make mazonos if the flour is there to fill you. Avol, he says, the licorice, hakavono mishum nipuch, he's having it for body, and you're having it as a snack, as a treat, as a something, as a sweetener. You're having something, it's a sweetener. And all you're doing it is you're giving it body, to give it body. And therefore, he makes this difference. Where did Dan Krauss get it from? Dan Krauss got it from source number 4. If you have a look at source number 4, if I can ask you, the Gemara in Brachos, I'm going to take you straight to Tosfos. So the Gemara, well, it's like this. Source number 4, you would have seen it, what would you imagine? Source number 4 quotes, but it's underlined in blue, that Rav and Shmuel both agree, in which case that's the end of it, Lahalocha, where Rav and Shmuel agree, and Rav Kahana and Rav Yosef are going that way as well, that Kol Shiesh Bo Mechamesh Saminim, Revorch Lo Bo Nozones, even as a minority, once you've got some of the grain, of the 5 grains in there, it's going to be mazonos, and therefore that's it. But in source number 3, where it's underlined in blue, the Gemara comes to the conclusion it's only there for binding, then it doesn't become mazonos. But Tosfos, which is immediately below in source number 4, underlined in red, has got the opposite, seemingly, of the dabik. If it's not there for binding, im osim osoi kadesh yisoid halev. Where did Tosfos get that from? And as far as I'm aware, there's no Gomorrah like that. So where did Tosfos take that if it's not there for binding, it's got to be there for Lisod Halev, means to satiate? Where did Tosfos get it from? In fact, if you have a look at source number 5, first the Rambam, he's got in blue Kedela Dabkoi, and the opposite of the Dabkoi, to give it body, is Kedela Tein Tam, to give flavour. Where did the Rambam get it from? To be fair, who told the Rambam the opposite of binding is to give it flavour? So you've got Tosfos and Rambam going different ways. What's the opposite of binding? And it's very, very important, this. What is it? If you add some flour to a soup to thicken it as a thickener, so you're doing it really because it fills you up. If you add flour to a gravy, I think all you're doing is to make sure it stays there. It doesn't run away. So that's for binding. But truly, you can never add flour for flavour. So what does the Rambam mean to add flour for flavour? So where did the Rambam get it from? Where's the source? Excuse the pun. And then, just to make it more difficult, and this I'm going to stop, because I really want that this should be, the question is, what are we going to do with this? Source number 7 is the Shittim Kubetzes. He adds over there, underlined for you as well, Shemachavin in the middle, Shemach, or towards, more to the three-fifths of the way down, Shemachavin bekimcha la'achilosei. Do you intend to eat it? Well, of course you intend to eat it. If you're eating this, if this is what you're having as licorice, of course you intend to eat it. Because that's what you're eating. The rest is just the flavour. The toasters would say this is not your meal, maybe, and therefore you're not going to make, this is not going to make mezonos, if that's what toasters means. The Rambam says, are you adding it for tam? I'm not sure we know what that means.
Did he have the same flour as us?
Sorry?
Did he have the same flour as us, as white bread?
Yeah, the basic things haven't changed. Adds flavour. It isn't, it's bland. It always was. Always will be. Yes? It's bland, that's what it is. So the Rambam says to give flavour, so we have to understand what the Rambam means by flavour, because we're dealing with the same world. Things are, and some things, until you know things have changed, you can assume a constant. And then, the Shittim HaKubetzes says, are you intending to eat it? So when you make fish balls, when you make gefilte fish, when you make meatballs, you don't want to eat the flour. You just want it to bind. But here when you're eating this, this is what you're eating. So according to the Shittim HaKubetzes, so really we've got to inspect this very, very carefully in view of these three things in the Rishonim, in view of the Gemaras. There is a Taz who talks about it over here in the source 8 and source 9. And then we want to think again, who's right? Letter number 1 or letter number 2? Response to Dying Krauss. And then, what's Dying Krauss is clearly, where he talks about Kedei Lisoid, he didn't tell me, but is referring to, that's what he's doing. And then there's a Tshuva from the Avnei Nezer, which goes through the Shittas of the Rishonim. And tries to guide us and explain to us what they mean. I'm going to stop at this point here because this is just really a way into this. I couldn't do it justice. With the chocolate, it was easy. But this really needs careful and learning of the Rishonim. And it really needs us to be able to find out where the Rishonim took it from, learn the Sugya properly, and then hopefully try and somehow come out with some Haskana. All I can tell you, the bottom line that I can tell you is that although Dying Krauss has changed his psak, Rav Moshe said it was mezonos. I went round a number of Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael who all told me they think the bracha is mezonos. However, Dying Krauss seems to have a point that Tosfos says, Kedei Sheyisod Halev, I think that's what it means, that it satiates. And if we would have Tosfos and other Rishonim, even if it was a Sufik, would be very interesting, you could make either bracha, couldn't you? Because mezonos will work for Dieved as well. I'm not sure whether you now you're going to choose Shakol over Ha'etz. When it comes to the chocolate, and you had Ha'etz and Shakol, if you had a Sofik, you choose Shakol, maybe. But here, you can have either. And we see this because we paskin that mazonas works for dievid as well for anything that has nutritious content, and it certainly does. So really, this is, I just can't do it justice, but by just that all in one go, we need to have a look at this. And I really suggest that we spend time, we'll have Mitz Hashem Monday night, those who can come, no greater achonah for Kabbalah Satoya for really getting to it. So Monday night, and Mitz Hashem, then Thursday night, the beginning of Thursday night, maybe we'll go further with this to be able to give a little more guidance if it's evolving well after being absolutely invigorated by Kabbalah Satoya to be able to go into it and continue to continue from there. By all means, take some cake, take some licorice, taste it. See if you can taste. See if you can taste any flour, or if you can taste anything of it. Was it? And see how it is. I'll give a little something. Sorry. Yom Tov is Wednesday. Yes. No. I'm sorry. You're not going to manage it Thursday night. I'm so sorry. You're right. Thursday night, we might be listening to. Or listening to other shurim. So we'll have to, so maybe Monday night, quite right. So maybe Monday night we'll manage, all being well, and then we'll have to continue with the week after. Thank you. I'll we'll give you a little something more on the, by all means, much more, less formally. Just a little something to continue, a little bit more on the table, on the Shabbos table, part two. As we said, a little something on the Shabbos table, part two. So what we talked about last week, just quickly to recap, last week, my suggestion of the secret of the Shabbos table, how to enhance it, is we talked about basic ingredients of the Shabbos table. The purpose of the Shabbos table, the way I said it last week, I just want to quickly go over it, is that all the Baalei Tshuva organizations say you can talk about theory and philosophy, you know, till kingdom come, but there's nothing like the actual Friday night, saying around the table, that there's nothing like it. And therefore, the question is why? What is it that somebody who's never been from, has never seen a Friday night table, what is it that makes such a difference, that's so drawing, that's so impressive, that all the theory that's available to them, The proofs of existence of Tom and Ashramayim, of everything else, nothing, just the chicken soup. Was it something special in the chicken soup? What is it that does it? And I really, last week, and I want to add to this, is that what it is about a properly functional Friday night table is that it is the cohesion of the whole family together. It is the simcha to be from, to be keeping mitzvahs. It's the zemiras, it's the divrei Torah, which say, wow, this is a unit, a family unit, which is able to exist and to have its very center of gravity. It is around keeping mitzvahs. It makes them realize in a way that is in no way threatening. It's just experiencing the real thing, that this is something for reals. We talked about when you have a Shabbos table, that there's happiness, genuine happiness, simcha, when there's genuine hakoras satoy, gratitude, and children are helping, and the it's an opportunity for us to praise our children, to give them the feeling that we appreciate they are for what they are, give them an opportunity to say a Devar Torah and that everybody appreciates it, everyone listens, to sing the Zemiras together. Again, if the genes in the family are tone deaf, it might be a good idea if you completely sing off tone, because then you don't hear the lack of, not everyone has the ability, but those who are able to sing nicely the Zemiras together is something which is incredible. And then as well, the content of the Shabbos table conversation is one of tachlis. There's something that's really something eternal and something positive that you can go away with instead of just small talk and nonsense for the sake of it. I'll just add one more thing that I really want to, I feel, is something so important. I'll say something which seems to be a little extreme. I feel that as long as we have little children around our table, there's no place for socializing at the Shabbos table. Because when you socialize with people who come for the sake of socializing, you automatically exclude the children. The beauty of the Shabbos table is that the children feel, this is my quality time with Daddy and Mommy. This is about us. That's what makes it special. And what do Daddy and Mommy want to hear from us? Daddy and Mommy want to tell us how wonderful we are because we can say it about you, because we help Mommy, because we speak nicely to the guests. What guests would you have if you're not socializing? You're going to have guest people who need the company, people who need the meal, people who need the hospitality. And then we treat our children. Our children, again, the focus is around the children, but the children as well are learning how to include guests, how to include them. Yeah, for sure you want to ask guests how they are, how's their week been, etc., etc., but you're not going to lose the children in the process. The main thing has to be the children, and the guests who want to fit in can fit in with that. If you do that, I've never understood the problem that people have with keeping the children around the table. My children don't want to leave the table. They don't want to leave the Shabbos table. Why should they want to leave the Shabbos table? They could only miss an opportunity to say a Dvar Torah, to sing Zemiras, to come and help, to etc., etc. That could only be the opportunity for them to do so. Of course, treats at the end. Yes, they can only have if they've been part of it all along. But there's no doubt on the contrary. They want to sing the Zemiras. They want to be the ones who are going to choose the next niggun of the Zemiras and to sing it. And one's going to harmonize and the other one's going to... And that is the Shabbos table. And of course, Daddy and Mummy are going to set the tone by two things. Firstly, incredible respect one for another. And that's the way the children will pick that up. Incredible respect one for the other. And the other one is, the talk of Daddy and Mummy is going to be something which is purely a Dvar Torah, a Halacha, nice things about people, and promoting nice things. Sometimes, occasionally, one has to speak about something that isn't so nice, and but not to give the children a dressing down, chas v'shalom, or chas v'shalom to give each other a dressing down, but to and it is an incredibly positive experience. Don't let the Shabbos table go on for 3-4 hours. Our kids can't take that. Goes on for a Shabbos table for 2 hours. It's enough. After that, let the children play, give them time, call them in one by one, go over a little bit of Chumash for this one, a little bit of Mishnayos, the point that they go over there, whatever it is that they need to go over, give them a quiz on the Sedra, make a thing, give out treats for getting answers correct. These types of things, that gives the real positive, that gives the real power. I would say as well that I would say the following, that when it comes to benching, bench together, sing benching together. Kids will never learn how to bench if you say it quietly. So they just won't bench. But if everybody sings the benching together, they've heard it from when they were 1 and 2 and 3, the time they're 3, they know benching by heart because they've heard it always. Encourage them to bench from a bencher. Encourage them to say the Zemiras. You should see it inside that they get the words right, because when they hear it, they'll inevitably hear the words a little bit muffled. And therefore, that again, it becomes something which is a real experience. All I can tell you is, in Shir Malos, we say, Hazorim Bedimo, Berino Yiktzorim. My grandmother always used to say to the Rebbe of Grunfeld, she said to Alei Hashem, she used to say, that Hazoim Bedimo, those who sow with tears, Berino Yiktzoru, they'll reap with rejoicing. It takes, what you put in is what you get out. If you put in your effort into spending time with the family, with the children, with whoever you have around your table, you put in that effort, So then, you're going to be able to reap the efforts you put in. It is a nothing for nothing. And I wouldn't say, as I mentioned last week, it's not quite Seder night, every Friday night table. You don't want to make it formally, but I think that it is a serious project of the week. Is trying to make the Shabbos table something cohesive, something positive, something upbeat. And the barometer for that is, what is the nicest day of the week? What do our children think is the nicest day of the week? Is it Shabbos when you can't play on the PlayStation, when you can't use any electronic games or anything else? You're not going out to Legoland and whatever it is. Or is it the Shabbos? I'm telling you, you can do it. You can make the Friday night and the Shabbos morning and the whole day of Shabbos so special if you keep the treats, mostly for Shabbos, and you focus on the children. Shabbos is the nicest day of the week. If the kids feel Shabbos is the nicest day of the week, you've got there. And we can get there and we can compete with all the electronics and everything else, because nothing gives the sense of feeling of genuine self-worth, that they care, we care about them, they matter to us, then sitting around that Shabbos table for as much time as is reasonable, and then giving them quality time after that. It is the type of electricity that's not on Shabbos. It's an electric atmosphere, which is something amazing. And for whatever position we are now, we can always improve upon it. There is no such thing as a perfect Shabbos table. There is no such thing as a dysfunctional Shabbos table. We can improve it. Doesn't matter where we are on the ladder. If you take these tips and you put them into practice, amazing, it's a huge difference. Just a couple of thoughts on it. How many people? Anybody for Maru? They take us for Maru? Oh. You're passing.